Amen. And the way the messages have lined up, man, Brother Gans, I tell you, it's exciting. Brother Chambers, I'm glad, amen, to know who Jesus is. Amen. I'm glad that I know what the cross represents. Amen. I'm glad to know that there is a banner, amen, Brother Branch, that I can begin to wave that was bought and paid for me. Amen. Upon Mount Calvary. Amen. I guess I need to get to the message. Amen. That clock back there is moving awful fast, and I'm going to try and be quick and get out of the way so we can get up around these altars before we go and feed our bellies. Amen. Turn with me this morning. I've got a few scriptures I'm going to read. I'm trying not to hold you too long standing, but I want us to read down through this morning. Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. I'm going to start reading in verse number 62. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 62, and it says, "And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." When Jesus Christ made this statement, let's look in the next verse, verse 65. And it says, "Then the high priest rent his clothes." I want us to look in Leviticus chapter number 21 and verse number 10. Leviticus chapter 21 and verse number 10, and it makes this statement, "And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes." That word garment right there, we find that it means vesture. Now I want us to look over in John chapter 19, and I know I'm doing a lot of reading here, but I want us to get a picture. John chapter 19 and verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures may be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things the soldiers did." That garment represented something. Jesus Christ had a garment that represented something that could not be torn. We have something as Christians that is not meant to be shredded. But again, it's not meant to be torn apart. Because what this priest had done, whenever Jesus Christ made this statement, when that priest rent his clothes, he was making a statement to those around him that he was in distress, he was distraught, and he was angered. We can find all throughout the scriptures that there was men that when they would come against a situation, we find that Job, when he lost everything, that he rent his garment and he sat in ashes. We can find different men that whenever they were to their lowest point, they would cast off the very thing that they were wearing. We find here that Jesus Christ, at his lowest point in life, He had been beat. He had been persecuted. He had been ridiculed. But yet he tore not his garment. I want to preach to us just shortly here this morning on this simple thought. Don't tear it up. Don't tear it up. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for what you've done for us, God, and what you're going to continue to do. God, I thank you for that garment that was not shredded. It was not torn. But God, it was left whole for a purpose. Because you are that priest. You are our high priest, God. You're the one that enters into the throne room when we cannot. God, I pray that you'd minister to each and every one of us here in this house this morning. God, I pray that you'd go before me, Lord, that you would anoint me. Lord, that you'd have your way. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated here this morning. As Brother Jason was preaching, he was talking about that flag. Now I've got here something that's going to represent the garment. We live in a day and time where the flag that we so proudly as American citizens hold in high regard, they take that flag, Brother Joel, and they shred it. They cast it in a flame because they are trying to disgrace, disregard the value and the payment that's been made. I want to tell you, take us on a little journey this morning to a man that carried a garment. That precious lamb. That one that could only, that only one that could give us salvation. And that could pay that price. That ultimate sacrifice. There was, amen, a time where God made that statement and said, who's going to go and redeem mankind? If you'll go with me for just a moment and see in that great throne room where Jesus Christ said, Father, send me, I'll go. Because if I don't go, there's going to be hopeless generation after generation that's going to continue to follow after. Amen. The falsehood of Christianity. The falsehood that mankind has began to build up. He said, give me my garment that I may go. We find when Jesus Christ was brought into this world, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, in a garment. Tell you, when that little girl was born to me and my wife, they wrapped her up all nice and neat in a single piece of a garment. We find here that Jesus Christ, when he was upon the cross, when those soldiers, they made a decision. They said, this raiment, this garment that is whole, we're not going to shred it. We're not going to part it like we do everybody else's. What does this garment represent? It represents our salvation, our Christianity. When we're out in this world, whenever we get saved, we are bought and paid for with a price. Those men were sitting at the foot of the cross as the very lifeblood of the Father began to rain out upon the earth, right where they were at. No doubt that garment might have had a drop of blood on it, but I want us to begin to realize what it represents. We find there in Leviticus that the high priest wasn't to rend his clothes. So what we can look at and we can see in Matthew is that there was a false priest that stood up and exposed himself for who he really was. He was not a man of light, but he was someone that was leading people in darkness. He was trying to keep them in bondage. We find when Jesus Christ went to the whipping post, The tradition there was not to leave the man clothed. But they would take the garments from off their back and they would begin to lay those stripes upon his back. And then when it was time for him to go to the cross, Brother Jason, they reclothed him and sent him on his way. I want us to realize and begin to picture we have a garment. When we come up against hardship and trials and tribulations, we have an option. We can either grab a hold of the garment that we have been given and we can hold it dear, or we can cast it off to the wayside, or sometimes we try to tear it apart because we're distraught. We're angry. We might be depressed. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, I've been in some dark places. I've been in some areas in my life where I have been depressed. I've been discouraged. Amen. Men and women, amen, here this morning, I don't know where you're at. You might be in a place where you just see that raiment and you want to begin to try and tear it. But as you begin to try and tear it, you see there's not a rip. There's not a tatter. It's still whole, because that's what His salvation is for you. Amen. It's a hope. Amen. It's something that can't be cast off to the side. It's not something that can be torn asunder by the pain of loss. But it is a hope therein. Hallelujah. Church, we find in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Says that ye are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We skip on down in verse number 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. How are we to show them? Because we have something. Whenever we get saved, we are adopted in. No longer do we have our righteousness to bear. We begin to put on something that is of His righteousness. It's something that identifies us of who we belong to and who's paid the price to give us this glorious salvation. And so we find that we are given, amen, a gift. There's our individuals that came up to different people that I know, and it's happened to me personally, is they come up and they say, I just don't know what it is about you. There's just something. Are you a Christian? It's because we're bearing something. We have an apparel. Amen. Whenever we come to someone, when we appear to them and we're communicating with them, how are you appearing? Are you appearing to someone having that salvation? Well, we find that we have, amen, the access, amen, because we are saved, to be adopted in. And we are that royal priesthood. And it says, He who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I don't know about you, amen, but I remember when I got saved, amen, and I wasn't, amen, feeling like I was in the marvelous light. Amen, but Sister Bethany, I felt at times I was consumed by darkness. But whenever I got saved, I got something that reminded me of the light. Because the moment when I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I don't have to fear anything, because guess what? I've got a light. Amen. Something that reminds me of where I'm from. Not only where I'm from, but where I'm going. Amen. It's time that we begin to realize that no matter what state we're in, whether we're depressed, amen, whether we're coming up against church problems or marital problems, we realize that we have a lightness that can be born in from outside of us. That's from Jesus Christ. We must be careful that we don't try to rip it apart. Say, I'll put a little piece over here so I'll be reminded of it. And a little piece over here so that I'll be reminded of it. Because guess what happens? Little pieces get misplaced. Little pieces sometimes lose their value. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And ye, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins." What were we? Scripture says we were dead. Down in verse number 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." I'm here to tell you, we find that there was only one that was worthy to enter into the Holy of Holies. But because we are saved, because we're part of that priesthood, we have been given access. So many times I'm afraid that we're going to get a notification that says access denied. I worked in a large place, retail place, there in Kansas City. When I first got hired on, it gave me a badge because there was doors that gave you access, a key card. It gave me access to doors. And I remember that, Brother Jason, there was areas that I could go into, and there was areas I could not. Go to try and get in the building. My key card only worked during certain hours. I get in the building. There were certain areas I wasn't allowed into with a branch, but I remember when I got a promotion after being there about 4 months. They said, "Bring your key card upstairs. Brought it up there, put it in the little machine, pushed a couple buttons, handed it back to me. They said, "You'll be able to get in all of the doors in the facility." Because when I'd walk up to a door that I needed to get into, even if I didn't have access, try it, be like, "Hey, you're going to have to open this door." Because it would beep at me. Rejected. I'm here to tell you, because we have that raiment. We have that garment. We don't have to worry about our access being denied. All that we have to do is allow ourselves to push that thought out of our mind, because the mind is the greatest battlefield. Whenever we get in trouble, we get in a position where we feel like we just can't touch heaven, we allow the devil to tell us a story that your access has been revoked. I'm here to tell you, when he tells you that, grab that blood-bought vesture and show him, "Hey, this right here means I've got unlimited access. I've got access to the Holy of Holies. Amen. I've got access to Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin," church. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne room of grace." What are we saved by? We just read this. We're saved by grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Child of God, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter if the door is shut. It doesn't matter if you think it might be locked. Just grab what God has given to you. Amen. When you went down to an old-fashioned altar and said, God, I'm a sinner. Lord, I accept the sacrifice and that payment that was made. And when that happens, we get a name change. We get a blood transfusion. I'm here to tell you, we've got to begin to realize the power that we have. If we don't tear it up. I'm going to get real, tell you guys a personal story. Went through some things last couple years. That's made me look at that garment. Lindsay, we've been through some things. It's made me look at that garment. I would look at it. I would take it off. And I would look at it. I'd pick up the Word of God and I'd say, God, I don't see the reason for this. I don't know why, Sister Kathy, it's happened again. And that's in those moments. Talked about the cross last night. I was over there praying and I was thinking about the cross and I was thinking of those little things I've lost. Maybe those things we've lost because we're saved. Because of the blood of Jesus that was shed. Was it only shed for me? Mr. Cassie, Kathy, it was shed for them. I begin to look at that master again. I know why I can't tear it. It's not that it's indestructible. It's because I realize His grace. I realize His mercy. I begin to realize, Brother Branch, the potential in my pain isn't just for me, but it's for somebody else. And I've had to look at that garment and say, I'm not going to tear it. But instead, I'm going to hold it. Hebrews 7 and 22. By so much was Jesus made surely a better testament. On down to verse 25 says, wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. It doesn't matter how dark the road is, He goes to the uttermost. Doesn't matter how far in the hole you go, He goes that deep and deeper. Not only that, but He's constantly making intercession for them, saying, Father, let me send a little more mercy. Father, let's show them a little bit of grace. Father, remember on Calvary where I gave my life for them. Let's give them another chance. He's constantly reaching. Who need not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for His own sins. And then for the people, for He did once when He was offered up. Once was enough. Hebrews 10 and 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Sometimes We've got to take our own way because it's old. I've heard my pastor say this. Raised in church, I had to take everything I knew, wad it up, put it in the trash can, and let God begin to pick out the things that I needed and put back in my life. Because sometimes we get stuck in our own way when He's trying to do a new thing in us. Because sometimes we're going to come up against a circumstance that we've never been there before. And if we're not careful, we try to handle it the old way. But we've never dealt with this before, Brother Branch. That's when we've got to go to the closet of prayer. Pull out that garment and say, bring me, Brother Joel, bring me that new way. The way that I need to handle this so that no one is wounded. Because men, we're in the ministry. Because if I don't pull that out and say, Lord, You had to do it a new way. These Roman soldiers did the same thing time and time again. But there was a reason, Brother Gaines, they stopped and said, wait, we can't tear this vesture. We can't cut it up. It represents something greater. We find in another portion of the Scripture that there was a man who looked up and said, surely, this was... Surely, this was... No doubt, we don't know, and maybe by chance, that was the man that got to carry that garment home. He had it hanging in his room, looking at it, saying, surely, this is the one that can begin to bring a recompense for the sin. This is the one that can begin to bring deliverance and redemption for my family. Surely this is the one. It's time that we break out the vesture. Let's not tear it up. Let's not throw it to the wayside, but let's begin to grab it close. Hallelujah. I'm trying to wrap up here. He says, by a new living way in which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. I had to remind myself of that a few weeks ago. I had to say, I'll trust in You no matter the outcome, because He's faithful. Second Corinthians, I'm fixing to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Amen. I want to stop here. I'm fixing to come back to this, but I feel the Lord drawing this scripture to me. I believe it's in Luke chapter number 9, where Christ was praying. And whenever He got done praying, His garment changed. He was glowing. It was as if He had put on a different raiment. When you meet someone, what's your raiment look like? When you come across someone, what do you come across as? Verse number 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. On down in verse number 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of ourselves. Whenever Elijah left up in that fiery chariot, something fell down to Elisha. It was a garment. And he put that garment to test, that mantle. It was a covering. When he smote that water, he said, "Where is the God?" And that's when things begin to happen. I want to tell you, your garment is made for you for a purpose. Verse number 8 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For which causeth we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at these things which are seen, but those things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What are you looking at this morning? Someone will get prepared to come to the piano. Are you looking at that raiment? You might be discouraged. You might be asking the question, why haven't I ever received an answer to? I know I'm saved. Why don't I have the Holy Ghost? I know I've been blood bought. Why can't I ever seem to have any hope? It seems like things around me are falling apart. Don't tear it up. But instead, pick it up. Allow it to begin to be applied in your life. There's a place in Isaiah 61. He says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment, that vesture, of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I don't know where you're at this morning. All I know is where I'm at. Brother Branch, I've felt like I've had to walk in some darkness. Because I had that hope. Sister Gans, when everything seems like it was falling apart, it seems like our brothers and sisters aren't coming and praying and doing what they need to do. Brother Gans, when it seems like more people are leaving the church than are coming in. Brother Branch, when it seems like the people that we pray for never get healed. We've got to begin to look at what we've been given. Something to fill this old clay pot. It's a gift that brings forth freedom. It's a gift that brings forth hope in the darkest night. As she begins to sing, I want the church to stand. I want us to come. Find us a place to pray. Pull out your garment. Don't tear it. Don't discredit it. It's been given for a purpose. It's there to give you the hope, the life, and the joy once again. That banner that can be proclaimed not only in your home, but to your community, to your city, to your state, to be that light. Hallelujah.
The Lord is my shepherd.